Now then, have you ever wore a crown, Anna?
Tiara?
Tiara. Oh, no, see, I've never wore a crown, but yeah, I suppose a tiara and a Slimmer World award in a group, that's pretty close, isn't it?
Yes, I got you one from a toy shop when you've won an award. Yeah.
Thanks. You know, everybody needs a crown and a tiara in their life. You don't have to get married to wear a fancy thing on your head, and you don't have to be royalty, people, because instead you can win a Slimming World award, just like Linda did, who recently was crowned, I say crowned, not tiara'd, Diamond Member of the Year by Slimming World. And she's here to tell us how she lost 7 stone and, more importantly, she's kept it off for 12 years. I mean, Anna, it's like living the dream just to think that one day we will be floating like a boat just docked in the harbour rather than riding the big waves of life out in the oceans of sea and stuff.
Food optimising, yes. There is hope for us both that we can be Linda. Fast forward 12 years and this is us. This is our hope, Linda. No pressure.
And hopefully for you guys listening, this could be your future too. So keep listening, keep your pens nearby, your notebooks nearby, your journals, get that cup of tea. And in the meantime, we will cue the ukuleles. So hello, this is the Slimmer World podcast. I am Claire. She is...
Anna.
Okay. Sounded so mature and grown up when you said your name then.
I know. I was in group the other day though, signing certificates, and I actually forgot my name. I had to ask my way lady. She was like, what's wrong? I was like, I can't remember what I'm doing. So yeah, we've done well, but I'm remembering my name.
That's a good sign, because that means that recently there's been lots of certificates then.
In my last groups last week, I gave out 27 certificates across the 3 groups.
Wow.
The weight loss has been on fire. It's amazing.
God. And the thing is, you know, as I kind of stroke my wall next to me here, I brush my finger over your name on my certificates. Look at that. Anna. And all the various spellings that you did of my name when you didn't know me as well.
Claire is a dyslexic, is such a nemesis. And the only reason I know there's 2 different spellings is because my mum's without an I. But Claire, now, how long have we done this podcast? I still have to do how your name is spelled every time. I'm like, from Anna and Claire.
Anna doesn't actually really know my actual surname. That's what made me laugh, because she posted me something the other day and she used my Facebook name, which made me laugh a lot.
Yeah, I was like, if I put her old surname, she'll be offended. So I'm trying to create her new one and I'm not quite sure what it was.
It's fine. Anyway, I'm happy to have the certificates here, and I'm sure that those 26, 27 people in your group are delighted with their certificates.
Yeah.
And, you know, as we go through this journey, we're all aiming for the same kind of endpoint. We're all wanting to get to a target weight, somewhere where we feel happy, we can find a new equilibrium. But often I think many of us start the journey without really picturing what it is going to be like at the finish goal. So that's what we're kind of unpacking in this episode. We want to kind of hear a brilliant kind of story. We want to hear more tips from someone who's been in those shoes. And we'll also share some of ours as well, because I've got to say, finally, you know, whilst I reached target earlier this year, I really, really, really went through the Slim for Life book for the first time in the past couple of weeks. And I have got some notes, some photos, some all kinds of weird things to kind of talk about as part of this episode. I'm here to kind of learn. And hopefully, if people are listening to this, whether you are at target and you're kind of finding it a bit bumpy, or maybe you're almost at target and you're wondering what happens? What happens when I get to this magical place? Then let's start to peek open that door and wonder what on earth it actually is all about. I mean, how do you kind of sell the dream, Anna, as a Slimming World consultant? How do you sell the Slim for Life dream?
I think it's just that it's not a dream. It can be a reality. And I think... I think the way that I hope I position it for my members is this is something that you can cultivate for yourself. And all it's going to take is consistent change and the commitment to consistently change. and that it's not something to be fearful of, because I think so many people put their hopes and dreams into a little pot, don't they? I get to this number and I'm going to be fixed. I get to this number and X is going to happen. It's knowing that almost what you're doing is you're creating the new version of yourself along that way. And when you get to target, it's now living as that person you've created. I think it's very important that anybody trying to achieve a target, that it's their own. So it's not, I mean, I've had targets in the past, you know, that have been BMI guided because of my health, and they're not empowering. But actually knowing how I want to fit in a pair of jeans or what type of dress I want to wear, that's my target. So I always just would say to anybody that walks through my door, it's about the freedom you're going to get from achieving this is the biggest kind of sell, I think, because it's knowing that you can then be the person that you was destined to be without the baggage of being overweight. Because what we know, don't we, especially, is that it is the baggage that comes with it that affects us and holds us back, as well as the physical side. I think it's when you mentally relieve that kind of hatred that you might have. I know I've had that burden of it, that you get this freedom. So, yeah, I think it's such an exciting prospect when you get brand new members coming into group and they set their target, because I get them to think about when that's going to happen, what it's going to look like. And actually seeing people think for a moment, I can do that, is an incredible thing. And then when you meet someone like Linda who's done it and kept it off, you're like, this is it. This is why I'm doing this. So,
yeah, well, let's meet Linda then. So, I mean, Linda lost 7 stone. She dropped down dress sizes from size 24 to a size 12. But not only that, Linda, what I'm even more impressed is, like, skip to present day, let alone 12 years ago when you were doing all of that. You're still out there. You're still pushing yourself. You're still going to group. And you've also, you know, started running in your 60s. I mean, what is this Linda like? What would Linda of 12 years ago say to Linda now?
Linda of 12 years ago would have said, oh, I can't do that. This is not possible. And find every excuse under the sun not to do it. Now it's a challenge. Life's a challenge. And I'm just embracing every challenge I have.
Wow. And you've actually been listening to the podcast, because apparently you told us off air that whilst you were doing your couch to 5K, you had the bizarre and baffling things that me and Anna say in your ear holes. I mean, I personally would think that would prevent me from running. I would want to turn it off. But I'm glad that we offered some kind of respite to you.
It was wonderful. And I can say that I was honestly running along the roads, laughing at some parts. At some points, I'm thinking, only I got a pen and paper with me, because your podcast is so informative. There are so many tips and ideas. And that shows that I'm still learning, even after being at Target for 12 years. I don't think you ever stop learning. And I think it'd be wrong if you did.
That's such an interesting thing you say. I had a member ask me the other day, she's like, you've been doing this nearly 22 years, you must know it all. And I was like, no, the amazing thing is you don't. It's an evolving process, isn't it? And that's quite empowering and exciting that there's always something new to learn.
It is. And that's why I still go to group, because as much as I can hopefully give other people some help and advice, I still come home every week buzzing with something, whether it's a recipe or just a general chat that we've had in that secure environment. And the love from group is amazing. I'd be lost without it.
Oh, they must be like a family now.
Very much a family. Definitely, yeah. Yeah, grown up together, a lot of us have, yes.
Oh. I mean, take us back to 2003. I think that for you was quite a tricky time, wasn't it? Just before you kind of rejoined Slimming World. What was life like then? And what was kind of happening in that kind of pivot year or so for you?
Well, initially my mum died in 2003, and then I had a major issue with work, and both things were things I couldn't control. And I'd been to Slimming World before, lost some weight and then put it back on. And I thought to myself, I'm not happy where I am. And one thing I can do is lose weight, because I'm doing it for me. That is not for anybody else. And that was the turning point, doing it for me.
That's an amazing thing when we hear people say that. The moment you do it for you, it's a game changer compared to doing it because the doctor says, or, you know, you feel you should.
Yeah, definitely. because I believe that this is a journey that we're on. It's not a diet that we're taking on. It's a journey. And you've got to have a destination at the end, whether you know quite what that destination is at the beginning. It doesn't matter. But once you set out on that road, it's an important place to be.
What was life like for you physically then, when you were 7 stone heavier too?
Physically, it was hard. I'd had needed surgery on a knee, and wasn't able to have it, and was told in clinic point blank that you couldn't have it under day surgery because I was too overweight. And I actually sat in that clinic and cried. I just thought, I can't believe that I've let myself get to this and my health is at risk now. And also mentally, I felt there were times when I wouldn't go to places. I remember I was supposed to go out for a party on a New Year's Eve, got dressed, got undressed, got back into bed and said I didn't feel well. And I was going to spend the evening with very, very good friends, but I just couldn't face it. So life was hard, and losing a member of the family is hard enough without the other issues that I had. So it was taking control of something, and it was taking back my life and controlling what happened in the future.
You know, when you came to join Slimming World, what were those first few months like? Because, I mean, you're saying now you understand that this is a journey and a process, but were you kind of in that understanding when you first joined?
I think because I went back to a group that I'd been to before, felt very welcome, and I knew I would be. And I just felt as though in some ways I picked up from where I'd left off, although the weight was much more at that point. But I just took it as it came. I wasn't hard on myself. I actually took 5 years to get to target. But that way I've learned a lot as well. And I think if you do it too quickly and too easily, you haven't gained anything from it. It's a learning curve all the way through.
You know, you were talking before about your group being a family. I mean, how important is group to you? It must be a massive kind of foundation, I'm thinking.
Group means everything to me. I love it. I love the people that come along. I do the weighing, and I just love the banter, the laughter, and the security of it, because we can talk about anything we want. We're all going on a journey. We're all trying to aim for our own individual targets or what have you at the end, but we're doing it together, and that's what's important to me.
Do you think you would have got there without group?
No, I wouldn't have got there without group, because having already been a member a couple of times previously, I'd got so far and then thought, oh, I can do this on my own. And it's just not easy to do on your own. You've got to have a very, very strong mindset. And mine isn't that strong. I need the support.
Oh, Claire and I have often discussed that without the support, we just wouldn't be where we are today, because it's knowing that a bad day is almost shared, isn't it? And it's momentary when you're in a group of people, but when you're on your own, it carries on, doesn't it? And gets bigger and bigger.
It certainly does. And I think it takes some learning that you've actually got to take it one day at a time. And if you've had a bad day, don't beat yourself up about it. Be kind to yourself. I mean, that to me is one of my top tips for anybody. Be kind to yourself on this journey. If you stop in the lay-by, so be it. But you know at the end of it you want that destination, and you will get there. Doesn't matter how long it takes.
I think what I'm finding really interesting about listening to you, Linda, as someone who, you know, has recently got to Target, then bounced out of Target, and has got back into Target, I think what I'm hearing really is about this word journey, and almost like you're still on a journey, but just a slightly different one. The destination might be slightly different. I mean, like what I suppose a lot of us come to when we first join, our expectations are, well, mine certainly were anyway, that it would be a very straight line. And actually, I had quite a lot of weight to lose on this journey. And for the first 4 months, it was a straight line. Every single week I lost. Got about 4 months in, had my first gain. and that wobbled and the certificates weren't coming so fast. You know, I got the 4 stone out of the 5 stone off in a year, but then spent another 2 years dilly-dallying about another stone. And it wasn't that kind of straight to target journey that I kind of anticipated. Like, what was your kind of journey like, if you had to kind of draw it for a bit of a shape for us? You know, were there these bumps along the way? Because, you know, we're really passionate about sharing about the middle bit of the journeys, not just doing the social media of the before and the after photos. More people need to know what happens in the in-between section.
Well, I think in the in-between times, I parked in a lay-by, I camped in a campsite a few times. It was just the group that kept me going, because I knew what I wanted. I never did know till much later on what sort of target I wanted. And like you say, we've all got our targets now. Mine is to continue with my running and keeping fit, and to keep in these size 12 trousers or jeans, because they're somewhere I've never been before. So that's my journey now. And I think too many people focus on, we're very good at focusing on what the numbers are on the scales, and they are literally just numbers. I think non-scale victories are far more important. Being able to bend down, tie shoelaces, paint your toenails, cross your legs, all simple things. Get into a dress that you really wanted. You do hit a point where that actually becomes more important than what them numbers are.
Do you think then it's fair to say that your journey was one of many bumps, like ours have been? Yeah.
Lots and lots of bumps, yeah. I've cried in group when I didn't quite get that half pound that I needed to get to 4 stone. I remember that, and beating myself up over things. But now, as I say, this far down the line, I now think, see it differently. I look at the bigger picture. But it is hard, and you have to learn to do that. And I think you learn to do that with the support of group, which is where image therapy comes in and helps. Just discussing it, just talking about anything, whether it's I've been half a pound away from this for so long, and just talking it out is enough sometimes just to spur you on for that next week.
That's so interesting. I'm sorry, Anna, I was just going to say, but of all the listeners' questions that we get, I think the number one theme is, how do you keep going? You know, when you start to struggle, or you're not getting the weight loss as you want, and you're kind of in the middle of your journey, and you just, you know, that time where I think many of us are kind of like, oh, I've lost a stone, that'll do for a bit. And then you go and you leave, and, you know, then you find yourself going backwards, and then you want to rejoin again. I think there are so many people that reach that kind of uncomfortable place where, or, you know, you get a gain and you walk out a group and you don't stay for image therapy. And then before you know it, you know, I could self-destruct my own head, I think, if I let myself. And I think it's those kind of quiet moments, isn't it, where you just learn to keep going, I suppose.
Definitely. And I think that is that hour in image therapy, or that time in image therapy, is important for you to do your own thinking as well. Listen to everybody else, listen to what they've got to say. But very often what somebody else has got to say will trigger a thought in your head, or I can do this. Yes, I'll try that. It was only one meal. It's not all week. I can forgive myself. I can enjoy that meal. My journey I think, because it's a lifestyle change, you're going to have the bumps along the way. You're going to have the meals out. You're going to have the birthdays, the Christmases. But I think I can honestly say that in all the time that I was losing my weight and have now stayed at Target, I've never gained more than about £5 in that week. And that's generally 4.5 of my holidays. But I know that I can get back onto it. So just hanging in there. Sometimes I feel, when I listen to people in group, I think, oh, I've been there, I've done that. And if only you hung on and stayed with us and stayed with it, it will work.
Do you know, Linda, as a consultant, Target members are so integral for that very reason. Like, while we're ultimately there to help you maintain your target, your wisdom is something that we need, because Target members give a beacon of hope and a beacon of understanding that a lot of people don't believe they can ever kind of achieve. They don't ever believe they can get there. But when I watch my target members sat in group and saying, you know, I've been here a year, 2 years, 3 years, you watch people's faces change, like, that could be me. So I think it's such a vital thing. And I love that you still stay to group, because it's just, it's so important. It really is. So I just wanted to say thank you to the target members out there, because you don't realise how, you know, it's a different shift in therapy, isn't it? But you don't understand how important you are. So,
I think that's interesting, isn't it? Because I've kind of really come to that point at the moment where I've been kind of questioning, what is my role? What do I want from group? What do I need from group now that I'm a target member? And I know target members who have come to Slimming World, they have lost the weight that they needed to. They haven't had a bumpy ride at Target, and they have moved on from group and carried on with their life, and they are absolutely fine, and they have made the changes they need to. I also see in, you know, the groups that I go to, that there are lots of Target members that like to stay, they're part of the social team, like Linda. So I'm kind of like, I don't know. I mean, obviously I do the podcast, so like I'm kind of hooked into this forever.
Is she giving me a notice, Linda, do you think? See you later.
I now live in a quite small town where I think my consultant would hunt me down if she didn't see me. But like Linda, so I'm intrigued, you know, from your point of view, what do you kind of get from your group now that you're a target member? Or what do you need from group?
I still need support, because I still have my doubtful days, my doubtful times. It's just that weekly fix. Yeah, I need it. And I think everybody always needs support of some sort. Just to see people that are in the same position as me or going towards where I am now. It helps me, makes me feel better.
Do you know, a target member said to me once, group is reminding me where I've come from and how far I've got. But it's also that injection of, I need to keep an eye on this because it's so important for me, and I need to make check-in time. And some target members will come every week. Some target members will come every 4 weeks, every 8 weeks. And it's about finding that balance for you. But I think what she was saying is, it's in my consciousness. If I'm in group, I'm making a conscious effort to still be at Target. And so many of us, you know, I did it. Got to Target, thought, I don't need you. I'm thin. I got this. And then I came back 5.5 stone heavier. So I think it is knowing, like you said, you have those wobbles, don't you? And you need that lift from your group. So it's remembering that, I think, Claire. And I think, do you know, the place you're at, Claire, is where I see a lot of target members like, where do I sit in this? Like, because I don't need the image therapy support. Should I go every week? Should I stay? What am I giving group, type thing? And it's about finding that balance, Claire, I think.
I think it's also about my expectations, because I think I went to group, 4 years ago, needing something different. So now I'm like, okay, what do I need now? And actually, one of the things, like Linda just said there, using it as my time to think. So often I will have a pen and paper, or I'll have like a journal or my food diary or something, and I'll start sketching some ideas of things that I want to focus on this week. Like if someone mentions a recipe or a food, and I'm like, oh yeah, I could make that recipe. So I just write it down. It's almost like my hour of kind of clear thinking, my quiet time, I suppose, to kind of just think, right, what is happening this week? What could I potentially prepare for? Because I think often I'm like too busy going from one thing to the next. And you know, whilst what everybody's saying in group might no longer necessarily like relate to me all the time, I think it's that time, it's dedicating that time to yourself, I think, to just check in, where am I at, what's happening in my world right now, as opposed to, I think previously, I think I'd kind of just drifted, and I don't know, naturally you fall into default. So it's kind of learning to be a bit more present and put the pause in.
One other thing to not underestimate as a target member is you need the strokes that come with, you're a target member. Can I get, Claire, look, can you help me with this member who's struggling? Because actually you're such a point of inspiration. And I think it's looking at, while you might not got your shiny stickers every month or whatever, actually what you're offering to other people can be that motivation for you, because you are that person that is giving other people hope. And I don't want to pressurize you or anything, ladies, but you know what I mean? You are that, we look to you as consultants because you've got that wisdom that so many people sat in the group don't have yet. You've been through the things, come through them, and have lived to tell the tale. So I think it's recognizing actually what your position in group is to share your wisdom and use that as something that boosts your kind of, I don't know, not ego, but your self-belief, maybe.
Yeah, I reckon
get to group, Claire. That's what I'm saying.
Right, group, okay, okay. Not going to get away with it, am I, with you? Jeez. I mean, so Linda, like, kind of going back to like the kind of the slim for life mentality, you know, how do you kind of cope with the, like, the maintaining, not cope, that's not really the right word. How do you kind of ride it out with the maintaining? Because particularly if we look like in the last couple of years, I mean, for you to continue to be in your target range during a pandemic is hats off to you absolutely for that, because we've all had so many hurdles, let alone life, just with that. What, how do you kind of ride this out? I'm really intrigued, like, how do you factor this in?
I think when the pandemic came, I obviously was unable to work, and I felt that, again, I was in that position where my weight journey, my staying at target, was something I could focus on. When you're at target, it's not about the numbers anymore. Everybody focuses on numbers too much. And when you're at target, you think, I've got to that number, but what do I do now? So your mindset has to change. And you have to think, well, what should I focus on now? What can I do now that is going to keep me where I am and make me stay on this journey? It's still a journey, whatever we're doing, even once you reach target. It's about a different type of journey. It's not, as I say, the numbers anymore. It's thinking, now I want to get this for the rest of my life. And I think one thing you need to do at that point is learn to be kind to yourself. Again, I say that because we just never know.
We berate ourselves, don't we? I feel like you've just spoken to Claire's soul, Linda, because actually you've said everything she needed to hear about being at target, because that very point that you say, you've got to that number, what now? Actually, unless you put meaning into what you've created, it's pointless being there, isn't it? And actually what you're doing is saying, like, let's go and enjoy what we've created, really. And you've been able to start running. I mean, is that something you would have done before you'd lost all the weight?
Oh, for goodness sake, no, definitely not. I was the one that laughed at everybody that was out there running, going, silly fools, I can't do that. But I decided on, I started to walk during lockdown. That was the main thing. Went to post a letter one day and thought, I'm not going to that post box, I'll go a bit further. And then it became a habit and I went out every day. I used my hour at the beginning and then just expanded it from that. And then I thought, oh, perhaps I can run. So I did a little jog along our guided busway and I thought, yeah, I can do this. And then my daughter and I were talking and she said, why don't we do the couch to 5K? And I laughed and she said, well, it's, you know, we can just take it a step at a time and do it. And I come out the other side of it. Well, we both finished it, but I come out the other side of it really enjoying running. But the little bit I'd done initially, I realised was probably about 30 seconds, not 30 minutes. It's given me something else to do and enjoy. And having lost a lot of weight, it's a great way to tone up. Because before lockdown, I was a member of a gym, which was fine. But then, as I say, I needed to find something to focus on while we were in lockdown. And that's where the running started and the walking.
So now you're a runner that's lost 7 stone. I mean, like, can you go back to Linda in 2003 and be like, look, this is what your future is? It's a magnificent thing, isn't it?
It is, but I don't think any of us know what the end of our journey is going to be like.
No.
We've just got to embrace every part of it as we're going through it and just say, I enjoyed that. That was good. That wasn't so bad, but never mind, I'll get over it.
Yeah. The body magic, I think, is interesting, isn't it? Because as you get closer to your target, the conversation starts happening with your consultant about, Are you thinking about body magic? Where do you want to start with this? This is key, really, as a part of the Slim for Life plan, in just making movement be a part of your world. And I was quite honest, like when I started this journey, yes, I was maybe cycling to work, but it was a very slow pootle, I will be honest, on very flat roads. Yeah. And it was a struggle. It was a struggle weighing 5 stone heavier than I did, than I do now. And I've slowly had to adapt body magic. One of the things I found really handy, and I don't know whether you ever actually used the Slim for Life book, Linda, but I've been going through this recently, and it kind of did like a, where is it? Page 18, it talks about body magic for life. And, you know, you had to kind of write down, what do you regularly do? How many times a week do you do it? How long do you do it for? And when I kind of totted up, I was like, gosh, you know, I do strength 3 times a week. I'm doing walking 3 times a week. I'm doing yoga every day. I'm doing spin class for cardio 2x a week. I've got 3 hours, 3 hours, 2.5 hours, 1.5 hours. I'm like, how did I become that person? But for me, that's felt like a natural progression. I didn't just suddenly click my fingers and go to that. But I think the one of the things that's sticking with me for this journey compared to my first journey on Slimmer World 8 years ago is I understand that kind of seesaw, that balance a bit more about, you know, you need to keep moving as well as kind of think about what your food plan, like the overall picture, I suppose. So I'm like kind of curious about like the role that, you know, body magic plays in your life. And also what's your why as well for doing body magic rather than I just have to.
Because I want to tone up. After losing 7 stone, there's an awful lot that needs toning up. And 7 stone heavier, I wouldn't have anticipated or even thought about doing body magic. But now I'm doing it because it gives me pleasure. It tones me up. And it's also a little bit of me time. I'm very much a person that needs me time. And going out walking, going out running, I do it for me.
So, you know, you said something there that I think is the key, or two things. You do it for you, but you enjoy it. And what I see of members and my own journey is we start doing it because we think we should. But then as we get into a habit, we start to enjoy it. And it's the enjoyment that then keeps us going, the results that then keeps us going until, like you and Claire, it's now so habitual, isn't it? That it's something you just do. But it's that bridge between starting and it becoming a habit that is the hardest bit. Because how many of us have joined the gym or started doing things and then within a month we've dropped it? And I often think that's because we overcommit to something we can't do. Like that's why Couch to 5K is so good, because it's something you can do little by little. And I think, Claire, the way you started out wasn't crazy amounts. The amount you're at now is astounding, but you didn't start out like that, did you?
No, no way. Do you know what's different? And I think maybe this ties in with what you're saying, Linda, too. So this is my 5th rodeo of doing Slimming World, okay? So in a few weeks, it will mark 4 years for this journey. I made the commitment on this most recent journey that I would go and weigh in every single week. I would carve out that time. And originally I joined on a Saturday morning group at 8 a.m. I'm like, what else am I doing at Saturday 8 a.m. other than sleeping, feeling rather sorry for myself because I'm probably hungover. So I carved that time out that was going to be, let's go see the Mangan time. And I just made that commitment to go to group. I think once I started to kind of look at body magic, I thought, well, that was really key in carving that time out of my schedule. So I started by kind of looking at it. For me, it was like a Saturday afternoon when there was, Saturday morning when there was a boot camp at a local gym down the road for me. And I just went every Saturday. And then I got to know the people. I got to know the group. I realized that after a couple of days, I could actually still walk on my legs. You know, after doing lunges and squats, I got a bit stronger. And then I moved it up to 2 classes and then moved it up to 3 classes and then, you know, swapped it around. But it was almost like kind of, I don't know, for me now, if I look, when we did our first couple of episodes, I spent many years living on my own, incredibly lonely, really, outside of my working life. Sometimes there'd be weekends when I'd finish work at 5 p.m. on a Friday and I wouldn't see anyone until I went to work on a Monday morning. I felt incredibly lonely, but I almost feel like for me now, my gym, my yoga and my Slimming World communities mean that I'm never alone. I've formed these kind of relationships and like accountability with these people, so that my health and fitness is at the core of like my connection with people, really. And that's kind of what drives me. It's a regular part of my schedule. Just like for other people, they might go to work Monday to Friday, 9 till 5. I'm self-employed. I don't have that kind of fixture, but this is a key part of making it a priority, I suppose, is what I'm getting at, Linda.
Yeah, I mean, I run a cleaning business and that is very physical. Every day or Monday or Tuesday, sorry, Tuesday to Friday, I'm busy all day long, cleaning, clearing. So there's a lot of body magic in that sense, but it's a different body magic because, again, I think the important bit is it's for me when I'm out there running. And I find that if I've missed a couple of runs and that, I then start to say to myself, why have you done that? You need to get out there. And sometimes I drag myself out of bed early on a Saturday morning, still just to go and get that done. But the elation of when I come back and how I feel when I come back was well worth that getting out in first thing in the morning.
We often say you never regret the activity you do you? The thought of it, dragging yourself out of bed, is the hard bit. The doing it, and then, but the after feeling, like if you could bottle that feeling, it's a great one, isn't it?
Definitely is, yeah. Yeah, it sets you off for the rest of the day. You've had your me time, you've had your exercise, you feel good, come back, have that shower, and you're ready for anything that you've got to face.
Can I ask you a question, Linda, around like the food? Because it is such a massive part of my life, and Claire's. Like, Claire and I often talk about trigger foods, danger zones, that type of thing. How have you dealt with like trigger foods? Have you still got them? Do you work them in? Is that something you've never had to deal with?
My trigger food is chocolate and sweets and that type of thing. I think it's having a mindset of there's nothing I couldn't eat, but there are several things I wouldn't eat.
Interesting.
Yes. So is there, what wouldn't you eat, for example?
I wouldn't look at a menu and say, right, pie and chips for me today. I always go for a healthy option on a menu if I'm out. But it's such a habit to do it now. I don't feel as though I'm depriving myself. There is always something that you can have. So as I say, it's choice power and using that choice power. I still have my chocolate because I can work it in with my sins. And I find that if I really, really want something sweet, it doesn't matter what else I eat, I still want to go back to that bar of chocolate. And I do, or have had in the past, the mindset of every time you walk in the kitchen, that's a sign to eat something. So to stop me opening the fridge door now, I always have a punnet of grapes. So if I walk in the kitchen, they're on the side, and I think something sweet, I'll have a couple of grapes. And that sort of break, I'm still doing that, walking in the kitchen and eating something, but I'm eating something healthier.
And safe, it's a free food. Do you know, I just got one of those American fridges. I don't know if you've got one, but they've got alarms. So every time you open the door, it beeps. It's the best thing ever. Feels like, are you in the fridge again? But it's, do you know, it's like a bleep of consciousness. What are you doing in here? Because like you, Linda, I walk in the kitchen. I'm like, it's time to eat. It's time to have a drink. But you know what? Everything's in my kitchen. So I can walk in there 60 times a day. And if I carried on eating 60 times a day, I wouldn't be able to keep my weight going. So I would recommend Linda's grapes in a beeping fridge. It's the way forward.
It's, you know, it's funny because my trigger food is also chocolate. It's almost like a lot of the vegan chocolate comes in big bars as well, not always in snack size bars. Well, the ones that I like anyway, it's always the way, isn't it? But I really struggle if there is one of those big bars open to just have a square and walk away. That is so difficult. So I've been training this process where me and Matt, I'm saying, look, we can't just like remove all of these triggers. We've got to learn to live with them. So we have managed to get through a week. I would like to say a week where we have a bar of chocolate that is open in the kitchen and it's still there.
Wow.
We're not a square. I'm like, a square? Are you having a laugh? I'm having a line, you know, like just break off the top of a line. So we have a line each, and that's what we're doing.
Okay? What happens if one goes, I want two lines? Do you have to like talk each other down?
The problem is that these chocolate, they never break in a perfect line, do they? So one person's always got a bit more, and then the next night you've got a bit less. So, like, you know, if you're a chocolate like freak like me, every little tiny bit of like broken off chocolate counts. And that's why I suppose I used to eat it all.
I think Matt's the one losing out, because Matt is about 4 times taller than you. His legs are longer than your entire body, and he's getting the same amount as you. Matt's pulled the short straw, poor man.
But I think it's about, you know, it comes back to these habits, isn't it? Like, I really like your phrase about there are a few, you know, the things that I probably wouldn't eat, and that choice power. I think that's really, I'm definitely, of all the habits that I'm working on right now, I'm really focusing on, like, look, really kind of looking at the triggers. How do I approach them? How do I rethink about my danger zones? I think that's, yeah, it's really interesting. I mean, like, what would you say, Linda, if someone is, you know, I don't know, say someone in your group who was close to their target, or perhaps they were struggling to find their new kind of, their new ground, their new rhythm in their target range, what kind of advice would you have for them?
I think a food diary. Never do without a food diary. Even now, if I'm having a really struggling time, I will still write it down. Keep a check.
Wow. That's really interesting, isn't it? Because a lot of people would say food diaries for people who are new. I know it, I'm fine.
No, because as soon as you start to write a food diary, and if you're honest with yourself about it, A, you don't want to write something down, you don't eat it. Well, I certainly don't. But also it makes you read your book, makes you check your sins, and makes you really think what you're actually putting in your mouth. Because we all waver, we all sort of struggle at times, and it's just a way of refocusing. And as I say, even at this stage, I still occasionally do that.
I think we, as a consultant, we always look at a food diary for someone in their infancy of joining, but also anyone who's struggling and needs to pull back to 100% food optimizing. And I think, you know, you say you still do it, but not very often, I'm guessing, because we wouldn't want you to be like 98 sat there writing every apple you had. But you know, it's your like power to pull you back in. I know that too, because sometimes you lie to yourself about the 1/3 speed, or had you measured your bran flakes, whatever they are. So I that's a really good kind of recommendation, that food diary. Do you still do one, Claire?
I don't enjoy doing food diaries as much, because for me, actually, a little bit similar to what Linda was saying about focusing on the numbers, I found myself falling into those old habits of the corset being too tight. I've started mixing it up and thinking about every evening now we have a focus food of the meal. So like Monday was aubergine, I don't know, Tuesday was butternut squash, Wednesday was tofu, Thursday was red lentils, then we had pizza on Saturday. Do you know what I mean? Like, we're just kind of, I'm trying to find my rhythm to be a little bit more flexible, but it allows me to focus on the good rather than writing everything and counting everything. I need to trust myself, but I do find what the Slim for Life book has really helped me with. Simple things, like, you know, the fact that I can explore more healthy extras if I want to. And one of the key tips I picked up in this book was reread the pages about healthy extras. You know, before it would be a choice sometimes for me, would I have bread or cereal? Well, now I might be able to have both. So what would I want? You know, maybe I want nuts and some toast in the morning, but I'll have nuts later as a bit of a snack with some fruit on my yogurt. So it's helped me kind of reopen my eyes to the book, to the plan, and look at it through a different perspective, I suppose. That's what I'm really getting out of it. So my food diary is naturally different because I'm learning to focus on different things, looking at my healthy extras, A's and B's, in a different way.
I think the moment you realise at target, it can't be the same journey as the weight loss one, in your mindset and physically what you do to a certain degree, it's then learning that new pattern, that new habit, isn't it? And actually you do get more healthy extras, you do have more flexibility, but also you've got to make sure with that you are keeping a check on it. And I think that's why that Slim for Life journal, that 12 weeks it takes you on, especially as a new target member. And I know, Linda, when you probably reached target, it wasn't around, it's that it almost wants to curate your journey and get you to that place of being free and being calm and knowing actually, like you said before, Claire, I can trust myself. I actually know what I'm doing. And I think where you struggled is you haven't had the trust in yourself that you do know what you're doing. I think you think it was a fluke that we got you here. No, your effort, your understanding, your knowledge got you there. But sometimes we need to have a little tweak of that. So that's Slim for Life Journalist. If you are a Target member and you haven't used it, and I mean, if you need to, Linda is probably at that school of when you got to Target, we didn't have it, but you're so ingrained in what you're doing. If I went and took you on route A, B or C, you just wouldn't need it because you kind of know what you're doing. But for anyone that's at Target now or not had it, definitely, definitely worth dipping your toe into.
Just a note. So you can ask your consultant for it.
Yeah.
And even if you're not at Target, your consultant should have one knocking about so you can read it. I remember reading it
a year before I reached Target. It's not something you get when you're in the club. Like, no.
The good thing about the Slim for Life book is it is something, because once you reach your target, it's a whole new minefield, a whole new game. And the one good thing about that, it's the next book, the next sort of chapter. It's part two of what you've got to do next. So it was a really good thing that Slimming World bought in. I mean, as you say, it wasn't around in my day. And that's probably why I still revert back to a food diary, because that was what was around in my day. It's, you revert back to that comfort zone.
You do your safety net.
Your safety net, exactly.
Yeah. I think what the Slim for Life book does as well is it challenges your beliefs. It makes you think about who you are now, how ingrained are those habits. And it gives you that ability to see if there's any alarm bells or anything that you perhaps need to work on, so that you know by the end of the 12 weeks you're in a safe zone. Because so many people will get to Target, like you said, very rapidly without any bumps in their road. And then it can almost be harder to stay there because they've been very direct in what they needed to do to lose the weight. Whereas people who have been on journeys like us three, we've learned a lot of skills along the way that have helped us probably stay there. So. Yeah, it's a great little book.
Mm. Well, it's going to be a subject that we're going to tap into in the next couple of months, actually. We're already looking at how can we kind of utilise and explore the Slim for Life booklet. So watch this space on a future episode. We're keeping that one up our sleeve.
We are.
Linda, like, you know, any last minute bits of advice, maybe to someone who's even starting out their journey, because, you know, 7 stone, it's an incredible amount of weight to lose. What a difference you made to your life all those years ago. But I'm sure that when people are kind of thinking about joining a group, or they know that they've got a big amount of weight to lose, it can feel quite overwhelming. What would the oracle that is Linda Stern be able to say?
I would say go in with an open mind. Be kind to yourself from day one, expecting hiccups because life has hiccups, and just take it one step at a time.
I love Linda. You're so philosophical.
And your family must be so proud of you too.
Oh, they really are, yes, amazing. But it's funny how my daughter says, I don't remember you ever being that big. I've had friends saying, I don't remember you being that big. I think at that point, my personality I had to work really hard at my personality and use that. Now I can just enjoy what I do and how I do it as me.
I love that. You're giving yourself freedom.
Definitely got freedom out there now. Definitely.
Fantastic.
You've inspired me so much. I've got a running machine that's quite new, a treadmill in my kitchen, right? And I've been promising myself all weekend that I'd get on it, and it just hasn't happened. When I finish today, I'm getting on my treadmill and I'm channeling my inner Linda. That's my decision for today. So thank you.
Well,
just a personal note, Linda.
The other week it was in your car, so you progressed.
I mean, we got it out of the car. We have used it. It just, you know, I think the thing that I'm noticing is I wanted a treadmill at home so I didn't have to go to the gym and I could do it. But now I'm going, well, it's in the kitchen and I just can't be bothered to walk down the stairs. So I've really got to dial in the time. But Linda, you've made me realise I need to go.
I want video evidence of Anna on the treadmill in the kitchen. I think we should share that on our Instagram at Slimming World Podcast. And we'll also share some more links of Linda's story too.
The internet's cutting out. I couldn't possibly be seen on the running machine.
See what I mean, Linda? It's been great to talk to you, Linda. We really, really appreciate you taking the time out today to talk and kind of share your wisdom. And I know that people listen to this, you know, no matter where they are in their journey, they're going to have a lot of takeaways here. Thanks very much for kind of helping us be this group between group.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having me. Quite starstruck at coming on there, on here. But if somebody gets one thing, one person gets something out of this, I'm happy for them, happy as a person.
Fantastic. Right. We'll speak to you all next Monday. Make sure you follow, subscribe, come see us on Instagram. Have a terrific, terrific week. And of course, as we always say, enjoy your food. Bye.